Okay, we're in John 18, right? When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said to them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus to Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest in the same year. Now Caiaphas, which was he which was gave counsel to the Jews, that he was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. My eyes are looking bad tonight. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out at the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spoke unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door to Peter, Art not thou one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And the priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I have said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also the one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being a kinsman whose ear Peter had cut off, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went in not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said to him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him to you. Then said Pilate to them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said to him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying which death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said to him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell you of me? Pilate answered and said, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said to him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Every one that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, What is the truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said to them, I find no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release to you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Boy, there's a bunch of good stuff in here. Back to the first verse. When Jesus had spoken these words, this word here should be thing. When Jesus had spoken these things, speaking of what he had spoken in the 17th chapter, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron. What does that word mean? What does the word Cedron mean? Huh?
C-I-D-R-O-N?
No, it's C-E-D-R-O-N. In this translation, it's spelled that way. What does it mean? Huh? Yeah. It says this. It's something turbid. It's foreign particles stirred up or suspended state of turmoil. It's like in a river when the water is like it is right now in our river out here. It's turbid water. It's all muddy and particles are suspended in the water. Okay? So when he went across this brook Cedron, what's he saying? It was a muddy river. Right? Where there was a garden unto which he entered and his disciples. He crossed this stream, this muddy stream, went to the other side. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus many times resorted there with his disciples. See, here's the thing. Judas ran with Jesus. I spoke this several years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago. Every Christ must have a Judas. Right? Why? If Jesus was betrayed, you think you're not going to be betrayed? You have to experience all things that he did to be where he's at. So, to be a Judas in your life, it can't be a stranger. It's got to be somebody close. It's got to be somebody that gets right inside to you. It can be a husband, it can be a wife, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father. It can be anybody. See? But it's got to be somebody that's got real close to you. Because if a stranger comes by and tries to do you wrong, you can just walk away from that one. It'll do you no good. But see, when you open your heart, just like Jesus did to all his disciples, knowing the one that was going to betray him, he still opened his heart to him and let him take his shot. Didn't he? See? That's the one that hurts the most. But the one that hurts the most accomplishes the most in your life. The one that hurts you is not your enemy. What does Proverbs say? The kisses of an enemy are worse than the wounds of a friend. Uh-huh. A friend can say something and hurt you and not be near as bad to you as somebody, an enemy. Someone can come in your life and be real good to you. Will you ever change? But you let somebody come in and hurt you, they're going to turn you inside out, and you're going to find out what's really inside of you. So who really done the best thing for you? Your buddy that patted you on the back, or the one that betrayed you? See? You got to see the eye of God. See, the world will tell you, and the church world will tell you, if somebody betrays you, get away from them. They're bad people. That's the devil doing that. No, the one that betrays you is the gift of God to you. You see, and you guys that wasn't here before, but I wrote this on the board a while back. And this is something that everybody says. Everybody said that verse right there, little thing, hadn't they? Somebody did something to me. But that's how the carnal view. You take one word right here and change it to this word, another preposition. Everybody that betrays you is doing you a favor. You can either get bitter or you can get better. See? It's the way you look at it. If somebody's doing something to you, you're going to get bitter. You're looking through the eyes of carnality. When you look through the eyes of God, you see that someone's doing something for me. Guy patting me on my back isn't going to change me a bit. But the man who does something to betray me and gives me the opportunity to show the love of God to him in spite of what he done to me. See, he done me a favor. He showed me something. Okay? Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests. Well, the word chief priest here is literally the high priest and the Pharisees. Most of the time when you see that chief priest plural, the word priest is singular, and the word chief there should be high, the high priest and the Pharisees. And they were coming there with lanterns or torches and lamps and weapons. Now, what nature is in somebody to come after a lamb with weapons and torches and lamps and a big gang? See, that's got to be the carnal mind working, see? Because it's not the nature of God. Jesus took this world and defeated everything in this world with one thing: love. See, the only thing that held him on that cross was not nails. It was the love of God that kept him on that cross. It wasn't anger or violence. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." They didn't know they were fulfilling the scriptures and sealing the fate of every evil work on the face of the earth when they killed him. They didn't know what they were doing. They set us free when they did that, but they didn't know it. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all — the word things shouldn't be there — he knew all that should come upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" Who are you looking for? Okay? And they responded to him, "We're looking for Jesus of Jesus the Nazarene," and not Jesus of Nazareth. The word "of" there is the Greek word "ho," and it should be Jesus the Nazarene. "We're looking for Jesus the Nazarene." What does the word Nazarene say? The separated one. Remember what we've been talking about all evening about a lonely walk? Well, if you're separated, guess what you are? You're lonely. So you're separated from the world. My disciples, did he say in here, my disciples are not of this world. See? You got to understand, this is about being separated. The Word of God, Hebrews 4 and 12, says what? The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. What does it do? Divides. Separates. Pierces asunder. Well, when you're separated, the soul from the spirit, guess what? You're separated from the soulish people by this word. By this word being living and alive in you will separate the soulish people from you. They won't like you. They'll throw rocks at you. They'll do anything in the world to try to kill you, to get you away from them. And all you can do is say, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." And they were, and Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Judas was right there to betray him. As soon as they had said to them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Notice something. Jesus spoke, and what happened to the people that came out against him? Mm-hmm. When God speaks, they couldn't hear anything. Like we spoke last week, every time God speaks in Scripture, what does the hearing ear hear? The Word of God. What does the deaf ear hear? Thunder. What do you think they heard right there that they fell to the ground? They heard something, didn't they? They didn't know what it was. They didn't know it was God, did they? They fell to the ground in fear because they didn't know what it was. But that was the Word of God speaking out of the man Jesus. And then he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." And Jesus responded to them and said, "I have told you that I'm he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way." Right? that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of them which thou gave me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it. The name Simon Peter implies something. It's the Passover and Pentecost. It's the duality of the Pentecostal name. His name was first Simon, then he was Simon Peter. He had two things going on in his head, didn't he? And later on he became Cephas, and he came to the tabernacle's realm. But here he's still in the Pentecostal realm here. And Simon Peter, possessing a sword. Now, this sword right here, the root of this word sword is strife and contention. Did you hear me? The root word of this word sword means strife and contention. So he was possessing what? He was still possessing strife and contention. The only way that someone could reach in their scabbard, jerk out a sword, and cut someone's ear off in a reflex like that is because he has the serpent nature within him. Would you agree to that? See, he still had it. In the Passover and Pentecostal realms, you still have that serpent nature in there. You still have that carnal mind in there. That's why you can go to a Pentecostal church sometimes and they can rip your heart out. They can hurt you. They can say cruel things to you. But see, it don't have to be in the church. When people are in that Pentecostal experience in their life, the internal, they can hurt you. But once you come to tabernacles, and that's the spirit realm where God dwells, guess what? There's no more violence. You can't even do it. If God takes that heart out, gives you a new heart, like it says in Ezekiel, how could you go back to that Passover and Pentecost or that natural way of thinking or that duality way of thinking if he removed that heart and gave you a new one? Impossibility, isn't it? You can't do it. And when we go back and act in that nature again, I hear people say all the time, you know, I'm just doing so good, and all of a sudden I just slipped back and I just got real mean. Now, people in duality might believe that. I don't believe it. Because if I left that duality behind me, if God has given me a heart transplant, and he took the old heart out, the old stony went out, and he gave me a soft heart, then I don't have the ability to fall back. And that goes right with the scriptures. What does it say in 1 John 3 and 8 and 9? Those that are born of God cannot see him. You know why? Because they don't have any ability to do it. Just like the carnal man doesn't have the ability to live righteously. He does not have the ability until God gives it to him. See? And I'm telling you, when you understand this, your mind will change and you won't even be able to go there. People will draw your blood and you'll look at them and say, Father, forgive them. You won't draw that serpent nature out. You won't draw that sword and whack it. Okay? So that sword that Peter had right there, that root word of strife and contention, he had still inside of him, because his name even tells you, Simon Peter, duality. Okay? But he drew the sword and smote off the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. What does that mean? The king's counselor. Okay? The king's counselor. He was an immature son. All right? Simon Peter was the immature son, excuse me. Then said Jesus to Peter, put up your sword in the sheath, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? What do you think? Got to do what Father asks, no matter what it is. And amen. There's no other answer to that. When God speaks to a son, it's yes and amen. Then the band and the colonel, not captain, it's a colonel, says colonel in the language, and the officers, and literally the word officers here should be servants, of the Jews, took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first. Okay? Yes. He took him to Annas first, because he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, okay, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas, his name means comely, was he which had gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Just because someone is in the Passover and Pentecost realms and they really have heard nothing, does that mean they're not gods? Now see, he spoke something here. He prophesied a true thing. He prophesied that it was expedient that one should die for a whole nation. Okay? But don't you know that that man was not right with God? He wasn't right with God. Come on. Just like, what's his name? Old Testament. Spoke to the ass. Balaam. Balaam the prophet. God spoke through the ass. Did the ass know what he was saying? And see, that ass right there didn't know what he was saying either. Because that's the ass nature. That's the wild ass nature they spoke of. That's the beast nature of man. The beast nature of man, God can speak through that vessel whether they know what they're saying or not. Because he owns them. He possesses them. And he dwells within each one of them. So he can speak through any beast nature that he wants to. And if we took it literally, the letter of the word, he said he spoke through a dumb ass, right? Yeah. Then he could speak through most preachers. Yeah. No, I said a dumb ass. That's what the book says. Yeah, okay. He can speak through them whether they know it or not. He can get his point across. And see, when God speaks through a person like that, even though they don't even know what they're saying, there's been men in my life that I had speak things in my life that were from God. Yeah. And they're as far removed from God as you could possibly get right now. But see, I recognize something. It's a time and season for everything. And they brought what God wanted, even though they didn't know what they were doing. That same word came through that vessel and went where it was supposed to go. That's okay. I got it. That's all I had to have. And they still don't understand where they're at. Okay, where was that there? 15? And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And that disciple was well known to the high priest. Now, I wonder who that was. Judas. He's the one that betrayed him. He's the one that the high priest knew very well. Because, see, he was going to him and talking to him all the time. We'll see. They talk about Judas right down here below. You'll see it. And it says, Simon Peter followed Jesus. Again, where is Simon Peter? What's that saying about what position Peter's in? See, he's still in his Pentecostal realm. He's still in the earthly realm. He has not yet came to maturity. He hasn't come to the realm of Cephas yet, has he? He's still Simon Peter in duality. Okay. Notice this. When he's in that realm of Simon Peter, he followed Jesus, right? And so did the other disciple, the one that betrayed him. So what's the difference? What's the difference, Bob? They both followed him, didn't they? Was there any fruit come out of it? No. They were both following him. And he was well known to the high priest. He went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. See, Judas went in when they betrayed him. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was Judas, which was well known unto the high priest, and spoke to her that kept the door and brought or introduced to Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door to Peter, art not you one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not. And the slaves and the servants stood there who had made a fire of coals because it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And the high priest then asked Jesus concerning his disciples and concerning his teachings. So the high priest says, what you got to say for yourself? What about your disciples? What about your teachings? And Jesus responded to him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always assembled, and I in secret have I said nothing. Didn't hide from anybody. He said it openly, didn't he? Paul said something in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, verse 27, and verse 35. He said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole gospel of God, but I've taught you publicly from house to house. He said it three times. I've not hid anything from you. Acts chapter 20, verse 20, verse 27, and verse 35. Said it, the three verses in that one, in this, saying the same thing in one chapter, which was there for a witness to show you that we should speak openly. Okay? Unless he tells you to shut up. And he'll do that sometimes. He said, why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me, what have I said to them? What I have said to them? Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers, one of the servants which stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you respond to the high priest in this way? And Jesus responded to him, if I have spoken badly, bear witness concerning the evil. But if truly or honorably I have spoken, why do you beat me? That's all it was. See, they were having faith, and this is what the religious realm does. You're supposed to honor the preachers. There is nothing in this book that says honor the preachers. It says honor God. Jesus never accepted worship from anybody. Don't worship me, he said. Worship God. See, any true servant of God doesn't accept this worship. But most preachers love worship. Oh, preacher, you preach real good tonight. Oh, you're my favorite preacher. Oh, you're so good. And their chest swelling out like a big banty rooster. I don't see Jesus doing any of that. He came to be the servant, not to be served. So all these preachers that's running around out here getting all the attention and saying, well, I got to wear these $5,000 Italian suits because I'm on TV. My book says he was a man of no reputation. Then why you got one? See, I got a problem with it. It's all man-made traditions. I got to wear these big diamonds too. And I got to have a limousine, bulletproof too. And I got to have two armed bodyguards taking me to and from the meeting just so someone don't hurt me. That's a man of faith, right? Somebody missed something someplace. Now Annas had sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore to him, art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. Well, you know, I thank God for a verse in this book. Even though Peter said, he denied him three times, Jesus, the word says this, even though you deny him, he cannot deny himself because he's in every one of us. He cannot deny that. He said, we're all children of the Most High God, Psalm 82:6. Sure. Sure it is. Oh, so Peter's going through hell about right now, I can tell you. Mm-hmm. His woman's talking to him. And I wanted to leave off. Oh, 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? And Peter denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Don't you know that he went through pure hell? One of the other gospels says he looked in his eyes and Jesus looked at him. Could you imagine what those eyes looked like to look in him when he denied him three times to his face, right in his face? Be pretty hard to live with, wouldn't it? Well, guess what? That's you. That's you and me. We've all denied him. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, it was at dawn. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, and that they might eat the Passover. See, they didn't want to, that's their dust thinking. That's in that dust and sand realms, the Passover, Pentecost realms. I can go in this building, I'll be defiled. How in the world can you get defiled? The Spirit of God is in you. How can your spirit ever be defiled? The Spirit of God can't be defiled. See, it's impossible. And flesh cannot be holy and righteous. It can't enter the kingdom. So it has to be the dust realm, the flesh realm, thinking they can't go in that building because God's not in there anyway. But they don't want to be defiled. They don't want to be defiled, they think. It's all in their minds. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What complaint or criminal charge do you bring against this man?" What do you bring and charge him with? Okay? And they responded and said to him, "If he were not a criminal or an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." They still didn't answer his question. Did they? They, just like the carnal mind, they would, just like a politician, they won't give you the right answer. He said, "What did he do? What complaint or criminal charge have you brought against this man?" And they said, "If he wasn't an evildoer, we wouldn't have brought him here." He said, "But what's the charge?" See? You know what? There was none. It was all lies and accusations. And it's going to be the same thing in your lives. It's going to be lies and accusations, innuendos, wagging tongues, and no proof of anything. In my life, I've been accused of so many things since I've become a man of God. You know what? Before I was a man of God, no one said a thing about what I did, and I did evil things. They thought it was cool that I was doing what I was doing. That's exactly right. And now they think it's strange that I don't run in excess and riot with them. But you know what? They accuse me now of things that I've never done in my life. It's okay. I understand that they can't help it. Their minds run wild. And when they're afraid of somebody, you'll come up with a lot of things. I know I intimidate a lot of people. I'm not intended to intimidate anybody. I know I'm very provocative. That's okay. I want you to think. God wants you to think. Okay. Then said Pilate to them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." You ain't got nothing for me. Go take him, do it yourself. And the Jews therefore said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put any man to death." Well, then why are you crying to kill him for? Mm-hmm. But you know what this book also says? If you thought something in your heart, you're already guilty of it. They were already killed. They'd already killed him many times, hadn't they? Mm-hmm. That the saying of Jesus not might be, but cross out that word might, because that's not even in the language, that the saying of Jesus be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. We're talking about the cross. They said, "We can't crucify nobody, but you can." See, carnal people can do anything they want to, can't they? Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" You know what that word king means? It's Basileus, the Greek word. And it means, are you a sovereign? Does anybody know what a sovereign is? It means you are the ultimate power. Are you the ultimate, are you the sovereign one over the Jews? And Jesus responded to him saying, "Sayest thou this thing of yourself, or did others tell you concerning me?" Tell it to you concerning me. Did you get a revelation? Or are you just a parrot? Are you parroting something someone said? You know, most of the church realm is a bunch of parrots. They just say what somebody said. They never bother checking to see if it was true. They just say what someone else said. And that's where all these old wives' tales and heresies come from, all these false teachings. If we just read the book, you know, even as much as King James language is messed up, if we just read that, it condemns 90% of the teachings the church has. Just reading the King James Version, I can destroy most of their teachings because it's not even according to the words that Jesus said. Isn't that amazing?
But that's their opinion.
They say it's my opinion, but that's not my opinion. That's what the book says. But it is my opinion now. I am totally convinced that that is my opinion. But it wasn't mine to begin with. I had to clarify that my mind was messed up like theirs, and I got it straight. I was just talking to that gentleman the other day, Kenny. I said, "Kenny, I used to think just like you. But thank God I'm not there no more." They don't hear you. You know.
No.
Just casting your pearls before the swine, or before the dogs, I might say. Moldy bread. Moldy bread. They have to get fresh manna every day, don't you? That's all you can do. Okay, where am I at? Oh. Pilate answered or responded and said, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the high priest has delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus responded, "My kingdom." The word kingdom is this. It means the authority to rule. My authority to rule is not from this world. Do you hear that? My authority to rule is not from this world. I don't get it from the carnal thinking of men. I don't get it because someone voted for me. I don't get it because my daddy was a king and it just passed down a bloodline. I get it because it's a sovereign choice of the Father. It was not an earthly king at all. He said, if my authority were from this world, then possibly would my servants fight or contend or strive or struggle to obtain something. That's what the language says, that word fight. They would fight, contend, or strive, or struggle to obtain something, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my authority not from here. And what it says, from hence? And you know what it says? My authority is not on both sides. That's what it says. My authority is not on both sides. He's saying, I'm in the kingdom. I'm not in the world. My authority is in the kingdom. I am the way. And Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you the king? Are you a sovereign then?" And Jesus answered, "You said that I am a sovereign. To this end," or "into this thing," the language should say this, "into this thing was I born. And for this cause," it's the same word again, "into this end and for this cause," the same words, "and into this thing came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." And what's the next word start out and say? It should be all. All that is of the truth, or all that that be from the truth. The word "is of" is "be from." All that be from the truth does what? It says, hear my voice in the King James, but the language literally says, they comprehend or understand. Everybody's got these little protrusions on their side of their head that they call ears, and they can hear vibration in them. But that doesn't mean we hear what God says because our eardrums rattle, does it? It's by the Spirit that we can comprehend and understand what's being said. John 10, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not hear. See, there's only two voices you've got to contend with in your life. I've heard them say, well, there's devils you got to listen to, and there's the devil you got to listen to, and there's your carnal mind you listen to, and then there's God. Well, you're crazy if you think that. There's only two voices you can hear, yours and God's. That's all there is. Jesus didn't say three or four voices. He said, you won't hear anybody else. You're going to hear me. My sheep will hear me and nobody else. I don't care how many voices you hear. It's coming from the same source, the carnal mind or God. That's all it is. Any sound comes out, there's one of them too. Yeah. Well, thank God mine's been killed. It's all about the thought and the mind right here. Every bit of it's right in there. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find in him no fault. The last two words, at all, are added words. I find in him no fault. But you have a custom. He said, even though I don't find this, he said, you guys got a custom, and I know it's that time of year again, that I should release to you one at the Passover. Do you desire, therefore, that I release to you the sovereign one of the Jews? Oh, my goodness. They cried, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Now, this, don't think that we're talking about them back there, because every one of us has cried this out. When God begins to deal with you, you would prefer to stay with that thief, your carnal mind, the one that John said in John 10 came to kill, steal, and destroy. See, we'd all choose to stay with that carnal mind. We all want to stay in that natural way, because if we start thinking like a spiritual man, we won't be around these people no more. See? And then we're going to be in isolation and solitude, and it's going to be tough, you betcha. But there is a reward for it. There is a reward for it. And I've got something written down here, and I want to go look at it in 1 Samuel. Something kicked out to me in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verse 5. I'll read it to you. And Samuel just come to Ramah up the hill, and he said, "Behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." It's the same thing they're saying right here. Give us Barabbas. Give us the carnal mind back. We don't want God running our lives. Same thing. You go ahead and read the rest of that chapter, chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. It's powerful. Lines right up with this right here. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how much parallel there is in this scripture, and it's all going on inside of us. Yeah. And everybody's preaching that's out there somewhere. Yeah. And you know what they're doing? Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. That's all that is. Give us Barabbas. If we look and see that we want a sovereign, see, he said, "Do you want your king?" Nope, we don't want him. We want Barabbas. We want the robber. We want the carnal mind that's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy everything we have. That's what we want. And you tell the people that, say, "Oh, no, not us." But every human being on the face of the earth has been guilty of it. Every one of us. Any questions? Any rocks to throw? We receive everything here.